Exodus chapter 25. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel, that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twisted linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1 cubit and a half its breadth, and 1 cubit and a half its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it. And you shall make on it a moulding of gold around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, to carry the ark by them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1 cubit and a half its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work shall you make them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one side, and 1 cherub on the other side. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat shall you make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1 cubit and a half its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold, and make a moulding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around it 1 hand breadth wide, and a moulding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame the rings shall lie, as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. And there shall be 6 branches going out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on 1 branch, and 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be 4 cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and 1 calyx of 1 piece with it under each pair of the 6 branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of 1 piece with it, the whole of 1 single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of 1 talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. In Exodus chapter 25, we have the beginning of the preparation for the construction of the tabernacle. The people of Israel received gifts from the Egyptians, but now they will give gifts to the building of the Lord's tabernacle. This is a house being built from people's hearts. If things such as the law of the firstborn, the feast of unleavened bread, the Passover, and the song of the sea serve to institutionalize the deliverance from Egypt, and perpetuated in the life and the practice of Israel, the building of the tabernacle will serve the same purpose with regard to Sinai and the encounter with the Lord there. The tabernacle is a portable Sinai, a movable mountain. And the story of Exodus begins with Israel building for Pharaoh and ends with them building a house for the Lord to dwell in their midst. There is a sort of symmetry to it. The first half concerned with the service of Pharaoh, the second half with the service of the Lord. The tabernacle's construction is also ordered according to a creation-like pattern in Exodus chapter 25 to 30. In Genesis 1 verse 1 to 2 verse 4, we see that creation has two stages. On the first 3 days, the order of creation is formed by the division between light and darkness, waters above and waters beneath, land and sea. And on the second 3 days, each of these realms is filled and distributed to ordained rulers. Day 4 corresponds to day 1, day 5 to day 2, day 6 to day 3. And in Exodus chapter 25 to 30, we see two sets of phases dividing the construction of the tabernacle. There are pattern phases, and there are ordinance or generation phases, and these are marked out by phrases. So make everything according to the pattern that you've seen on the mount, or this must be done throughout all your generations. So one concerned with the pattern, the other with the continuing practice and the delegation. The pattern phrases, which occur in the first half, in chapter 25, verses 9 and 40, chapter 26, verse 30, chapter 27, verse 8, refer to the forming stage of the new creation. And the ordinance or generation phrases occur in chapter 27, verse 21, chapter 28, verse 43, chapter 29, verse 9, and chapter 30, verse 10. These refer to the filling stage, where the new formed order is filled and apportioned to rulers. The first day of the tabernacle building begins with the formless raw materials assembled for the construction of the tabernacle. This is what happens in verses 1 to 9 as they devote certain things to the Lord. And then the ark, the table, and the lampstand are formed on that first day. They're covered with gold, and they represent the radiance of God's glory presence. There will be other things that are formed of other materials, but these are formed of gold. They're specially representing God's presence. The ark and its cover represent God's throne and footstool. The table might be seen as the earth beneath the heavens, and the lampstand is the light of the first day. We should also observe the way, particularly in the following chapters, that the Spirit of God assists in the building of the tabernacle. This is also something that human beings are establishing as creators under God's direction and instruction. In the creation story of Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. And in the formation of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, he plays out a similar pattern of creation with man as a witness. Now there is a further movement still, as God is teaching man to create under his direction. We'll also see as we get further on in the book that there are themes of assessment and blessing and Sabbath, just as we have at the end of the story of the creation. The Ark of the Covenant also reminds us of Noah's Ark. Even though the word for Ark isn't the same, we've seen already some similarities between the ascent of Sinai and the ascent of the Ark upon the waters leading it to Mount Ararat and the establishment of a new covenant there. There's a similarity between Moses' ascent into the cloud and the ascent of the ark upon the waters. So two sets of 7 days followed by a 40 days and 40 nights period. Now the Ark of the Covenant reminds us again. Once again, there's a construction of a particular type of wood box that God gives the instructions for that must be overlaid with something inside and out with specific dimensions. But there are sharp contrasts, of course. One is covered with pitch, the other is overlaid with gold. And the Hebrew letters used for the covering of Noah's Ark in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, are taken up again to refer to the covering or the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Noah's Ark was lifted up by the waters, and the people must provide liftings up or contributions for the building of the tabernacle. On the first day of a new year, the tabernacle is established later on in the book, and the covering of the ark is removed in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. Again, a new creation event. Perhaps the tabernacle should be seen as a sort of building of a new ark. that God is going to lead his people through the wilderness, and his presence among them within this vessel is perhaps a new form of ark. To dwell in the hostile environment of a flooded world, Noah had to build a world in miniature, the ark, and dwell in that realm for a period of time. For God to dwell in our hostile environment, a world of sin, a world that rejects him, a world that is impure, in his spotless and pure holiness, requires a different sort of ark, a glory ark that contains God's glory presence in our midst without that presence breaking out and destroying us. It allows for communion between God and man without God's holiness destroying the worshipper. The Ark of the Covenant then and its cover represent God's throne in the inner chamber of the tabernacle, or this sort of palace tent. It's a throne and a footstool, the footstool being the Ark and the throne being the cover. We should probably relate the furniture of chapter 25 to the details of the previous chapter. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's throne. God was seen enthroned in the previous chapter. The elders, the priests, and Moses representing Israel ate before the Lord, and the table of showbread is the continued representation of that communion between the people and God in God's tabernacle, or his tent. The golden lampstand represents the assembly of Israel, burning like the burning bush with the presence of God in its midst. There was a pattern shown to Moses, as we see in Numbers chapter 8, verse 4 on the mountain, so perhaps we should think that there is a heavenly archetype for this. This is something that Hebrews suggested, that there is a heavenly tabernacle that corresponds to the details of the earthly tabernacle. This is a sort of heaven model on earth, a model of God's presence in our midst. God's heavenly throne is represented in an earthly model. When we get to it, we should also contrast the building of the tabernacle with the building of the golden calf, which is sharply contrasted with it. Israel's life will later be coordinated around the tabernacle. It will be symbolically mapped onto the reality of the encounter with God at Sinai and the continued presence of God in their midst thereafter. God isn't bound to a particular place, but his special presence will move with them, and his throne will be set up among them within this special tent. Understanding the nature of the tabernacle, first as a portable Sinai, a movable mountain, and then as a new creation, and then as something related to Noah's Ark, will help us to see how the sacrificial system works in relation to it. The tabernacle is a continued representation of these things. It relates to heaven above, it relates to Sinai, it relates to the Garden of Eden, it relates to the original creation as a whole, and it relates to Noah's Ark. And as Israel orders its life around this building, its symbolic practice will relate it to all of those past events. It's a way of continuing the reality of those events and developing those events in their significance in the continuing life and practice of the nation. This is not just a past event. When they leave Sinai behind, they will take Sinai with them in some sense, and that will be taken with them in the tabernacle. It will be a continued place of encounter with God, of meeting and fellowship with the heavenly bridegroom. It will be a way of entering into the realm of heaven itself in a model. A question to consider. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 following, we read, "Now the point in what we are saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus it is necessary for this high priest also to have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, 'See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain.' But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises." How can meditating upon the meaning of the tabernacle, its connection with Sinai, and its connection with heaven, and then thinking about the connection between the tabernacle and Christ, help us better to understand what the new covenant means in this regard?